Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be in God's house this morning, and I am feeling very happy to be here with you. And the first thing I want to say this morning is really a big thank you to you all, and I want to apologize. I want to apologize for taking you through the roller coaster of the last few months of having to deal with my health problems. But it has been a real encouragement to me and to us as a family to know that we weren't going through this on our own. And our fridge and our oven and our mantelpiece are all testimony to that. Well, the fridge and the oven are empty now, but the cards that were on the mantelpiece were all received with thanks, and they were a real blessing to us just at the right time. So I want to thank you very much. I'm not just back yet firing in all cylinders 100%. I'll be another probably 4 or 6 weeks before I'm back here full-time preaching and whatnot. But I'll be here some Sundays, most Sundays, sort of doing announcements, and I'll be around to be about. But there's a little bit more to go yet as far as the recovery of the clot in my leg is concerned. So, but it's great to be out this morning. It's great to be here. I do have a number of announcements. I think they were saving them all up for me coming back. I don't know what your announcements have been like over the last few Sundays, but there's loads this morning, and we'll try and move through them rather quickly. Just want to remind you that we have an evening service this evening. Be a really interesting evening service where all the folks, the many people who have been away serving over the summer on those short-term mission trips, they'll be here this evening. They're going to be interviewed by George, is going to conduct that service this evening. And it'll be slightly different from any other service in a good way, I hope. No, it'll be good. It'll be really interesting to come and hear folks talking about their experiences, see one or two photographs, and sharing a cup of tea afterwards. So that's at 6:30. We would encourage you to come along to that. Then on Monday night, our Christianity Explored is continuing. It started last week, and it's never too late to join into Christianity Explored. The little leaflets are still in the vestibule, and maybe in the tables. They're knocking around in various different places. If you were thinking about joining that, and you think, oh, the first night's over, I can't come, not at all. Come to the second night, and you'll catch up very quickly. Each night does lead into the next, but they do stand alone as well, and on Monday night, they're looking at who is Jesus. So you'll be very welcome to come to that. Or if there's somebody who you know has been talking about it, why not come with them? Just because you are a Christian doesn't mean you can't come, and it might be the very thing that they need, just someone to come with them for one or two nights. So please pray and consider that, and if there's anyone that you know that would like to come, then come along as well. Wednesday night is TAP. We'd love to see many people there. I'm going to just mention our prayer in a little minute or two, but Wednesday night is TAP. And then on Friday night, our youth club has changed slightly over the last few months. We've had some discussions with the Education Authority. We now have a Friday night drop-in, which happens every Friday night. These little flyers will be made available over the next few weeks. So our youth club used to be only every other Friday night, but now the Education Board have come along, and they're bringing with them some things that we can't provide, trips out and certain things that they can do that we can't, which is really good. It's really exciting. So if you're from P7 upwards, then come along every Friday night into the church halls here. You'll be made very, very welcome. One or two little announcements just on how we do things around the church. The church calendar. Used to be we went into the office and you got the church calendar and you filled it in with the date and all that you needed. That's slightly changed now because we have put our calendar online. We've had a few requests from people online, so we've had to harmonize what we do in the church with what is online. And now we have a new system where if you need to book the halls, if you're an organization and you need to book the halls for a special night, then there are forms for you to fill in the office. You can check the dates online. And if you're really snookered, speak to David Thompson. David has kindly taken this over as part of a ministry of the communications part of the committee. And he will look after that and help to sort you out for special dates if you need something other than your regular night of meeting. And we also have that little section in the back of the Chronicle, the Grey Abbey Notes. And what we're doing with that now is if you have anything that you want to put into Grey Abbey Notes, and we would encourage you to do that. If you're doing something, get it in. Many people read the back of the Chronicle and check out the Grey Abbey Notes for what's going on there. And if you want to put something in there that you're doing special, then forward that to Fiona Nelson. Fiona does our announcement, so if you forward those details on to the announcement email address, Fiona is now our contact. So that's just one person sending all that stuff to the Chronicle and not a number of different people. We just want to have one point of contact there. Now, it's come to this time of year again where we take our second collection for the United Appeal. United Appeal does a wide spectrum of work, both at home and overseas. And we are beginning a program where we want to try and communicate to you folks what that work does, where your money goes. When you put that money into that envelope, where does that money go? And we have in the vestibule this morning, and then it will be round in the church hall foyer area over the next week or two, a couple of boards there with information about stuff that really has impacted this congregation. We've had a little bit of think about it. Some folks from the mission team have thought about it as well. And there's two flip chart boards there. We would encourage you to do a couple of things. Read that flip chart. Pray about how much you would like to give, how much God is laying on your heart to give. Because that the work of the United Appeal is so valuable to so many vulnerable people, so many people who just need help, both at home and overseas. Evangelistic opportunities, churches that can't do things on their own, can employ people because of the work of the United Appeal. It's tremendous. But take a wee read at those boards. I think on your, maybe under your hip, there will be one of these, perhaps, at the end of the pew. Take that home and have a wee read at that. There's other things there. I'm sure you noticed your pews were maybe a little messy this morning. And round our walls, there's things on the walls that we don't normally have. We've just come to the end of our 24 hours of prayer. And I had popped in a few times, and it was lovely. I want to say thank you to Norman and the prayer team who organized it all. I want to thank those who came in and played music, live music for us, those who sang, and those who led times of special prayer. Lots of people were involved. We hope you've had a chance to get to that. If not, please take the paper home with you. All the pews had different areas, praying for young people, for the community, for our ministries, for various different things. So if you didn't get a chance to get to the 24 hours of prayer, then please take one of those leaflets with you and pray for them at home. Then the rugby is starting, man. That was a sexist comment there, because some of the ladies might be into rugby as well. If the ladies are into rugby, then you can watch it at home. The men are going to come and watch it in church. There's a little announcement in there. We're taking this as an evangelism and a fellowship opportunity, men. So I know I'm making a joke, but this is serious. I mean, we can seriously connect with men through sport. And we can let them see that while we are Christians, we still like a good banter and fun and food and a bit of friendly competition. So friendly competition. We like a bit of friendly competition. We'll try and keep that word friendly in there. So take a wee note of that. It's Saturday the 19th. So read those details. Think about the men who you could invite to that for a day's crack. Now, two left. Some of you will remember we had been praying for a young fella, Josh Martin, who had leukemia. And Josh is now back at school. Prayer works. Imagine prayer working. Huh? Prayer needs answers to prayer. And some of those prayers were that Josh would receive the blood transfusions that he required to recover. And he received those. And as a result of that, the Elam Church are setting up a blood transfusion day on Monday the 14th of September, 1:30 to 4 and 5:15 to 8. So if you're in around Bangor, if you're a blood donor, you might want to pop in. If you're not, you might want to pop in and start giving blood. You never know when you might need one or two pints of claret to keep you going should something bad happen to you. So it's very good. I am a blood donor as well, and I like to do that when I can. Now, I think that is all the announcements except one. The days in which we live, many people are saying many things about marriage. Many wrong things about marriage. And many young people go down roads that the Bible does not promote. But we have another young couple who have just gone down what we believe to be the biblical path for marriage, and they've just got engaged. So I'd like you to put your hands together for Rebecca and Simon. Well done, big man. I'm just wondering, do you want to come out and react to the proposal or no? Ruth's looking at me and going, hi, if he's going to do that, you'll have to do yours, and then I will be embarrassed. So congratulations, folks, and every blessing to you. I think this is one of the ones that everybody's been waiting on. I know what that feels like. Isn't that right? So every blessing to you, and I'll get my diary out, and we'll get a chance to see about a date so I can get a new hat and dress. It just leaves me now to thank Derek McKelvey and welcome him to the pulpit here to conduct our service of worship today. Derek has very kindly done this, and he's actually heading off on holidays later on today, and he says, no, I'll still be able to come and do this. So Derek has really stepped up for us today, and we do look forward to his ministry today. So Derek, thank you very much.
And I know I echo what everyone says when we're all delighted to see Neil as well as he is and wish him well for continuing recovery. Call upon me and I will answer. That is what God says. Call on me and I will answer. So let's rejoice in that as we come to worship and we sing of the love of God as it is given to us in that great hymn by Charles Wesley, love divine, all loves excelling, joy of heaven to earth come down. Praise you that you're a God who loves us and has shown your love from the beginning of time and shows it to all eternity. We praise you, God, that love is your name and that it is in encountering love that we encounter you. We thank you that you have reached down in love. And so we bring to you the sin that so easily drags us down. We bring to you the faults that we do not sometimes intend to do, and indeed the ones that we jolly well intended to do. And asking your forgiveness, we know it comes when when we repent and we receive your love. For forgiveness is love, and love is forgiveness. And for this we rejoice. So come, Lord, that we may be so moved by your sacrifice for us that we may be able to say that all we once held dear and all we built our life upon is nothing compared with knowing you. And so we continue to praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let us turn to two short passages from Matthew's Gospel. First in chapter 7 and reading from verse 24. This is a very well-known story from the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it didn't fall, because it had been founded on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain fell and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Now, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. And then if we pass across to Matthew chapter 21 and verse 28, Jesus tells a parable. This chapter is actually full of parables, but this is the one of the two sons, Matthew 21 and 28. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, "Son, and go and work in the vineyard today." He answered, "I will not." But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same, and he answered, "I'll go, sir." But he didn't go. Which of the two did the will of the father? They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him." Praise be to God for his glorious gospel. Even though it says at the top of my order of service, Trinity Grey Abbey, no children's address. Boys and girls, would you like to come and help me with something? I need a bit of help. Any good builders? Well, let's see how good you are. Excuse me, there's another wee bit of a job going on here, right? I'm trying to do it without wrecking the microphone. I never thought of that when I was doing this. Right? Here we go. Right. Would you like to help me? I want you to build on top of that. Okay? See what how big a house you can get to stand up on top of that. And let me see. Would you like to build? Would you like to build on there? And see how high you can get? No, no, it's been top of my jacket. See how high you can get. Come on, you can help her here. No, no, and you keep putting it onto the other. It has to be on the top of my, right in the center of my jacket. I think someone's learned a bit about construction engineering here. I hope you don't get too good or you'll ruin my point. My grandchildren saw these at the front door, and when I came down, they'd gone. And they were most disappointed when I said I was taking them away. You're doing well. Do you want to go a bit higher?
Yeah.
Well, now, tell me, which do you think is the safer house?
That one.
That one. Do you know why? Because that one's not going to stay up. And that was the story Jesus said. He says, if you build on sand that moves, it won't stand. But if you build on something solid, it will. Of course, unless you're my grandson, he'll come along and do that. But Jesus said, do you know what he was trying to say? He says, if you listen to what I've got to say and do it, then that's like that house, solid. If you listen to what I say and don't do it, then it all comes down. And so when we pray and we know what God wants us to do, then we have to do it. That's the message for today. And now we're going to have our offering as you sneak back to your seats for a minute or two before you go out. Sorry? Children's song first. Is there a children's song? No. No children's song. Do you think we could do "The Wise Man Built His House Upon the Rock"? Do you know it? Never mind. Is it there? Right, where are we?
Okay, for this one, I don't know if you can see, but there's two different colours. There's black and there's blue. Alleluia, Alleluia is done in black, and we'll face the Lord's in blue. So what I want is for the girls to go Hallelujah, 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 and then the boys will get up and do praise. We'll praise the Lord. Sorry, I'm from the King James version of Praise Ye the Lord. But we'll praise the Lord as the boys, and the girls is Hallelujah, Hallelujah, and you get up and down accordingly. Okay. Okay, so the girls stand up and the boys sit down to start with. All right, you ready?
Some churches have a Fit for Life fitness program in the middle of the week, but you manage to do it on Sunday mornings. We're going to worship God as we give our offering.
This is the air I breathe. Your hope.
so we offer our gifts, Lord, knowing that what we give and what we keep are both yours, and asking that you will use what we give and what we keep to honor your name and to give you glory. Amen. And Haley is now going to lead us in our prayers for others.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, I just come to you now and just help us just leave all aside our own worries and just to concentrate on the needs of others. There's so many things that we can just come to you and pray for, and whenever we think of others, we just look to our own congregation. I just thank you here for each head bowed, Lord, that each of these people are just, for those, Lord, who are just going on strong with you and who you have called, Lord, I just really pray that they may always know your presence, Lord, that they may always remember how much you love them, and no matter what they go through in their lives, Lord, that they can just know that your hand is upon them, Lord. And for those who haven't yet called on you, Lord, I pray so hard that they can just really know that they need you in their life, Lord, that they just can't go one more day without you, Lord. Lord, we know as Christians how life's tough already, but with you it's so much easier. And I just pray that these non-Christians can just really know that they need you in their life, Lord. They need that firm foundation that you can so freely give to us, Lord. One thing that's so special about the church is that we can just spend happy times together, we can spend sad times, and I just thank you so much that at the minute we're rejoicing, Lord, and we're rejoicing with Simon and Rebecca, and I just really pray for them as they go through into their next stage of their life together, Lord, that they can always know that your hand is upon them, and that whatever they face in their life, they can just always seek your face, Lord, because you're going to be so close to them, guiding them and leading them in every direction of their life. And I pray that as a church, we can support them in any way, Lord, that they can just know that they have a church family who are just loving them and wanting to show Christ to them all the time. As we come tonight, we are thinking about mission, and we're remembering about all the mission that's already taken place over the summer, and I pray that even though we may forget the work that was done, you will never forget, Lord, and I pray that the children and the lives that have been touched this summer, Lord, that they won't forget what they've been taught, that you can just continue to work in their lives. Lord, we are just humans, and we are just working for you, and without you with us, our words and our actions are nothing, so I just pray that you can just do abundantly more than we ever can, and I pray that maybe if these children have been taught a memory verse, or maybe something has been said, that even if they don't remember now, that they can look back in their later years and remember what they have been taught, Lord, because we know that whenever we teach these children in their youth, they can look back to it and they will remember the things that they've been taught, and they will not go from it. We also then pray, Lord, for the refugee crisis. I'm not really sure what to pray for when it comes to this, and I just really pray that we can open these people in with open arms, Lord, but the governments can really, they can be aware of who they're letting in as well, Lord. I pray that they can be mindful of those Christian people, Lord. We know that persecution of the Christians is getting so much greater, and that can be a really, really scary, scary thing. So I pray that the governments can be so aware of the things that are going on, and just pray that they might do things prayerfully, and that if there's any Christians within the government, Lord, that they can just really take a stand and do things according to your will. Most of all, Lord, we need to show love and we need to show compassion to these people who their lives are just breaking and falling apart at this minute, Lord. And I pray that you can just break our heart for what breaks yours, and help us not be scared, to not be scared, because if we were to try and get into these countries, Lord, it would be so difficult, but yet these people are coming to Christian countries, so we can so freely show the love, we can so freely have 5-day clubs and invite these children maybe along, and I pray that for all the countries that these refugees might be coming into. Help us not to forget, though, the people on our own doorstep. We can look to Belfast, we can look to Ards and Bangor and just see homeless people, and yet we can so easily forget because it's not on the TV to remind us, it's not on the radio, or it's not maybe on the internet even, Lord, to remind us. But help us to just never forget what's on our own doorstep, Lord, that we can go out and onto the streets and show Christ, Lord, that we can go out and show care and compassion. I pray that you can just give these people a sense of hope, Lord, where they may just feel like they have nothing, Lord, but all they need to do is look to you and realize that even though they don't have a bed or a house or maybe even food, they still have you, and that's more than enough. And that's easy for us to say, Lord, because it's not us that's facing it, but I just pray that you really give them a sense of peace and a sense of love, and just if we do go out, just give us a desire to work for you and just be with us in all we do. Yeah, just pray all these things in your name. Amen.
I want to turn to Paul's letter to the Colossians in chapter 3. Paul has been setting out some of the foundations of the Christian faith, and now in this chapter he speaks of the implications of it. As so often in his letters, he gets down to the nitty-gritty towards the end as to what it means for our living. So chapter 3 and verse 1. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. For on account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. For these are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. So as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is the word of the Lord, and we give him thanks. And we sing the Potter's Hand. Thank you. There's a story told of a man who's sitting on the roof of his house in the middle of a flood. And he prays with great confidence, "The Lord will save me. Father, come and save me." Shortly afterwards, a man comes by in a rowing boat and says, "Get in." And he says, "No, no, the Lord's going to save me." So he keeps on praying in great confidence that the Lord is going to save me. And shortly after, a police launch comes past and says, "Get in." And he says, "No, the Lord is going to save me." And shortly after that, a helicopter comes along and lowers down a rope and says, "Climb on the rope." And he says, "No, the Lord is going to save me." And the helicopter goes away, and sometime after that, the flood goes right over the top of the house, and he's drowned. And he arrives at heaven's gates, and he says to the Lord, "Lord, you promised you'd save me, and I prayed, and you were going to save me." And he says, "Well, what else did you expect me to do? I sent a rowing boat, a police launch, and a helicopter." Prayer is action. The lovely little story of the building of the blocks on the sand and on the, or my approximation of sand, and didn't think you'd like me to bring the beach in. Jesus says, "Whoever hears these words and does them is like a man who builds his house on a rock." I think when I was here earlier in the year, I talked about prayer, about the presence of the Lord, and the prayer being his presence. It is. It's being in constant relationship, close enough to whisper and to hear the divine breathings of the Spirit. Prayer is listening. It is spending time with the Lord and hearing what he has in mind and what he has to say. That's the vital part of prayer. Not just that we tell him, but that he speaks to us. But prayer is action. It's listening to the promptings. It's ringing the person who comes into our mind. It's baking for the person who's in difficulty. It's going to that place. It's helping that person. It's approaching that man. It's giving to that woman. Prayer that doesn't end in action because the Lord has prompted us through our prayer to do something isn't true prayer. In fact, that's what Jesus was getting at when he told the story of the two sons. Well, I think most of our families could replicate this one. He asked one son to do it, and he says, "Not in your life." But later on the day, he thinks, "Oh, maybe I better," and goes and does it. But the other son says, "Of course, Dad, I will do that. You know, I just love doing things for you. You're just the best dad there ever was," but he doesn't. And of course, Jesus is speaking and he's saying, "You know, when I come and I talk and I tell of the kingdom of God, you folk have been saying yes to God all the time, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the church people. You always say, 'Oh, yes, yes, yes,' but you don't do it. And the people who have no time for church, the ones who don't go to synagogue, the ones I meet down in the street corner and in the pub, they've been saying no for years, but when I speak, they do it." Oh, it was a fairly directed parable, and they didn't like it. And of course, like all simple stories, it isn't as simple as it looks, because there are people in both camps who say no and who say yes. But the whole point of the story is that being a Christian and being a person of prayer is not saying the right things, listening to the right sermons, being seen at the right conferences, attending the right theological college, creating the best worship, unless when you hear the words, you do them. You can have everything right and still be wrong. Or as a friend of mine says, you can actually be right in the wrong way. Because it's the outcome that matters. Scripture is absolutely packed with warnings about hearing, filling our lives with religion, building our own profile, but not doing what God wants. You see, if it's all enjoyed for me as a purely selfish thing, we have not caught the vision of what Jesus Christ was about. He said, I did not come to be served. I could have arrived here and the angels had come and ministered to me, and I could have had you all in the court in front of me, bowed low, attending to my every need. But I came to show you that the way of this God, unlike all the other gods, I don't know whether you saw the early morning news, but there was one of the BBC reporters at the end of the travel program just before 8 o'clock when I turned on to see the news. He was at a Hindu temple where you have to climb 773 steps without your shoes, and most of them are covered in monkey poo, not to mention the monkeys, in order to make your offering to the god. But it's of no avail. And the God we worship doesn't ask us to climb steps for him. He asks us to understand that he came to serve, and so must we. You remember he got them, the disciples, all sitting nicely at the table in the upper room. Those disciples' heads were out the window that night. They knew things were going pear-shaped. They were worried sick. They knew they were going pear-shaped, but they didn't know how or why. They just knew that the wonder of last Sunday was now gone. And they were sneaking around back streets to hide in a room that nobody would know them. And so nobody bothered to wash the feet. And Jesus took off his outer garments and wrapped a towel around his waist and washed their feet. And then he said, do you know something? Your heads are full of stuff. This is my translation. Your heads are full of stuff. You're absolutely beyond yourselves. There's only one thing you need to know. Just as I have washed your feet, so you are to wash each other's feet. You're to serve. It's not about you. It's about God through you serving the world. You see, if we absorb our worship and our religion and our prayer for ourselves, we end up at the beginning of Colossians 3. We find ourselves priding ourselves on our faith and that we've got the right best worship in the countryside and that we've got this. And we know the real truth of the gospel and what they do down the road. That you know, I heard a sermon down there and you wouldn't believe what they said. And you should see, the worship in that church, it's dead. Very quickly, we find ourselves in malice and slander and gossip, the things he talks about at the very beginning of that chapter 3 of Colossians. And what we think we're doing is protecting the gospel, standing up for what's right, showing the people what's really the way to do it. When what we're supposed to be filled with is compassion, love, forgiveness, care. Or to put it another way, the sign that the Spirit of God is living in your heart is that when people meet you, they meet someone who is loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, gentle, faithful, humble, and self-controlled. You've just finished 24 hours of prayer. I think it's the most magnificent way to start a winter session. Because it's an acknowledgement that this church is not your church. It's God's. It's an acknowledgement that the agenda that you're going to follow this winter is not your agenda. But you're going to seek His agenda. You want to do what He wants to do. It's an acknowledgement that nothing will work unless God does it. And therefore we come and we sit before God and we pray. And as you look around the walls, yes, you see everything's been prayed for. Yes, they've prayed for the nice spiritual things like Sunday schools and Bible classes and fellowship groups. But they've prayed for things that some people don't think are spiritual at all, like catering teams and football and rugby. But they are wrong. For every service of God is spiritual. There's no division in our lives. Because Jesus Christ came and He didn't just preach and He didn't just pray and He didn't just heal people. But He washed feet, and I strongly suspect that when He went to visit, He washed dishes. Because He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. So there are questions to be asked at the end of the 24 hours. Is the presence of the Lord more real in your life? Having stopped for a while, are you aware of His love and His presence? Is the presence of the Lord more real in your lives and in the life of the congregation? When you walked in this morning, did you sense the difference that the prayer has made? As you've waited on Him, have you heard the Lord more clearly? Are you now much more clear in your own mind as to what you yourself are to do and what this congregation is to do? And the acid test, as a result of your prayers, what are you going to do differently? What action are you prompted to take? What attitudes of your life have changed? In a sense, God calls us to stop and say, analyze the words you speak. And ask, are they words of the Spirit? Or are they words of the earth? Stop yourself just before you tell the juicy, gossipy story that you've just heard and can't wait to share. And ask yourself, will this build up the body of Christ? Will this help to serve? List your actions and ask them, do your actions this day, this week, show to the people around you in your family? Yeah, that's the real acid test, isn't it? And in the church and in the community, that the Spirit of God dwells in you and you are loving, joyful, peaceful, patient, kind, gentle. You know, we used to throw out the hymn, Gentle Jesus, Meek and Mild, because we thought it wasn't very nice. And of course, He had strength beyond all strength, but it was gentle. And the fruit of the Spirit is gentle. We're going on holiday this afternoon, and we have a painting to take to our granddaughter, who's going to be 13 in a few few weeks' time. And she's mad keen on horses, and it's a lovely charcoal drawing of a horse. And we're wondering, will Jet 2 allow us to take it on? Because it won't go in a case, and it won't go in the hand luggage. So if you want an extra thing to pray for, pray I get my painting onto Jet 2. But on the label it says, extremely fragile. Handle with care. Jesus knew when he came to this earth that every human being is extremely fragile and needs handling with care. And the fruit of the Spirit, when prayer becomes action, is shown that we don't go ram, stam, blasting into people's lives. Because we've got the truth and we're going to hit them with it. But we draw alongside them with the gentleness of the Savior and the compassion of the gospel and the love of the Father and the real understanding of the Spirit. And what we have prayed and what we have heard, we do. Prayer is listening, prayer is presence, but prayer is action. Whoever hears my word and does it is like a man or a woman who builds a house on the rock. Let's do it. Let's do it. And unto Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be all the praise and the glory, world without end. We're going to close our service by singing Hosanna in the Highest, and then I think there's tea and coffee for people out the back, so don't rush home. We have managed to do the service in just under an hour. I don't know if there's any, there was one man in my church when I was in Ballygilbert for many years, and every Sunday, long the day, he would say, or that was good, under the hour. Just before I left, I called him aside one day and I said, you know, can I say something to you? In all the years that I've been minister, and it was almost 21 years there, you have never commented on any quality of any sermon or any service other than its length. Really? I said, yes, that's the only thing you ever speak about. And I'm only telling you so that when the next man comes, you might actually look at some of the other qualities as to how long, or maybe look at how deep, or how insightful, or how worshipful it is. Oh, he wasn't terribly pleased, I have to say. But we've kept it right so you have time to show the fruit of the Spirit to each other over a cup of coffee. And to build the community of this place and to infiltrate, subvert, and change for the gospel of Jesus Christ, the community in which you live. Let's sing Hosanna in the Highest and close our service.
Exalted, O Lord our God, Hosanna in the highest.
us look at each other and say to each other, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all.